When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us your word. Please help each of us to see something fresh, something new that you would have us learn. For Christ's sake. Amen. Well, I've called this talk The Significance of the Last Supper. And we're from Luke 22, so do keep your Bible open, please. One of the most recognizable pictures in the world is a mural. It's in Milan. It's painted sometime at the end of the 15th century. Because of a variety of factors, it's in a very poor state of repair. The paint used, environmental factors, and deliberate damage have left little of the picture there. You know what I'm talking about? The Last Supper by Leonardo. Leonardo was an image maker. He only gave us about 20 or so pictures, but a lot of his work in the 13,000 pages in his notebooks, sketchbooks. But this painting, The Last Supper, points to an even greater image maker. And the center of the picture, obviously, is Jesus here. Two powerful images that Jesus asked us to continue. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a phrase that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 11. So why is this so important? Well, it's because it keeps reminding us that Jesus' death is absolutely central. He became our substitute to give us hope of eternal life. Now, throughout the world, people have, it seems timelessly, they've always known that sacrifices were somehow important. They realized, all people, that we fall short of God's standards. And so they've sacrificed animals some time immemorial. Now, obviously, the death of an animal can't put us right with God. It's a picture. I mean, right through the Old Testament, you've got these sacrifices as a picture of what God's going to do. It looked forward to the death of God's perfect Son. Well, Jesus' death, as we see here, is certainly no accident. Look at verse 22. See it there, the Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. The death of Jesus wasn't just the result of Satan's activity, the skullduggery and plotting of the priests, or Judas's greed. It wasn't anything to do, well, it was to do with that, but in control was Jesus's plan, God's plan, that he was going to die. Now, the Gospels emphasize that the whole of Jesus' life was moving forwards to this focus point, to his death. Now, we know Islam says that someone else, a substitute, took the place of Jesus on the cross. But the whole Bible, from beginning to end, stresses that the Messiah himself would enter this world, God's chosen king, to die for our sin. Jesus' death was planned right from the beginning of time. And now, this Last Supper explains the purpose of his death. Luke emphasizes the explanation just before he goes on to describe the crucifixion and the trial of Jesus. It's his way of explaining so that we can understand what the death of Jesus was going to achieve. Just look down, would you, at how the Passover, this ancient Jewish feast celebrating the end of the captivity in Egypt, how this is absolutely central in Luke's thinking. Look at verse 1. It's called the Passover. Verse 7, the Passover lamb. Verse 8, eat the Passover. Verse 11, that I may eat the Passover, Jesus says. 13, they prepared the Passover. 15, I've eagerly desired to eat the Passover. You can't miss the point, can you? It's as if there are flashing lights coming up. Luke wants us to see it. The Passover festival is all about the Lord Jesus and his death for humanity. And look at verse 16. The Passover is fulfilled. So the Lord's Supper that Jesus instituted looks back to the past to release from Egypt. It's God's significance very much in his presence. But what I find very interesting is what it signifies about the future. Well, let's look at the past. The original Passover feast where a death is predicted. And there are striking parallels. You can't miss them, can you? In Egypt, the Passover lamb had to be perfect. Perfect male. It had to be part of the family. You realize the lamb actually had to be brought into the family for 4 days before it was killed. They had to get a relationship with this dear little lamb. Real bonding going on there. But then it's sacrificed on behalf of the oldest boy, the representative of God's family. So on the 14th day of the first month, this lamb was killed, and its blood was spread on the lintel and the doorposts of the God's family. And because the Jewish houses had the blood on the doorpost, God's judgment fell, as it always will fall, on those who are not protected. But they were. And they were covered by the blood. I don't know if you can imagine that the dreadful night in a Jewish family in Egypt. They've had their Passover meal, and the father explains what's going to happen, that God's people are going to be released to go and enter the promised land. They have a real meal of roast lamb. But then afterwards, as it goes on, you can just imagine the oldest son saying to the dad, "Dad, have you remembered to put the blood on the doorpost?" "Oh, yes, that's all being organized. Don't worry. I'll do it later." And the son later comes along, an hour later, he says, Dad, have you remembered? Have you put it there?" "No, don't worry. 11:45. Can you just imagine the oldest son saying, you're going down to his dad, saying, "Dad, is the blood there?" "The blood's been put out. You're okay." Can you just imagine the relief of that person? So, what did that first Passover achieve? It's a rescue, certainly for the oldest son, but it indicated the rescue of all God's people. That's how it started. But as always, the gospel has both salvation and judgment. Churches that distinguish the two and go quiet on God's judgment and just talk about the love of God for his people, they've missed out. No, the gospel is good news for God's people, but judgment for those who reject him. Repeatedly in the Old Testament, the Passover is described as the mighty works of God. It was designed by God to demonstrate beyond any question that the Lord God triumphs in his role over sin. He saves the people who don't deserve it, but he will judge those who reject him. And Pharaoh, enemy of God, repeatedly refused to acknowledge God's authority. Up to this point, 9 times he's been warned, 9 plagues to warn him. 9 times Pharaoh thought he could better God. But then God's patience runs out and he decides to act in judgment. And God's people are freed. God's enemies are judged. And God's people look forward to the promised land. I think it's interesting after this how Moses became a pop star. You know, great song that he sang. It became part of in the charts of Israel for years, centuries. In Exodus 15, he rejoices. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in wonder, working wonders? They knew their God was a powerful God, not to be trifled with. Well, let's get back to the Last Supper. We've seen the significance of the past story of the Passover. A death is predicted. Now let's go to the presence of Jesus. The death is now being fulfilled. See, Jesus explains that he is the Lamb of God, who's about to be sacrificed. And the Passover look forward to Jesus' coming and his death. He was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. He closely lived with his disciples. How it hurt for him to say, I'm going to be sacrificed. It means so much more. And then look, verse 19. This is my body given for you. Nothing is clearer. So by linking his death to the Passover, Jesus is saying that his death will establish his kingdom forever. Immediately, the church understood this. You remember Paul writing in the first letter to the Corinthians. It's 22, 23 years later, 55 AD, the end of his 3 years in Ephesus. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. That was their thinking. Jesus bore our sins on that cross so that we can be free. And so Jesus, in verse 19 here, 22:19, this is my body given for you, and you, and you, and you. Isn't it wonderful? Can you just imagine Jesus looking around at each one of his disciples? I died for you, and you. And Peter wrote later, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And he did this to create a new people, a holy people, who hates sin as much as God does. So that we might die to sin, people goes on, and live for righteousness. That's why we've been chosen. For some people, I love to this thing. We are all separated from God by our sin. We are in a sticky position. There's nothing we can do. Religion, going to church or to the mosque or synagogue, can't get rid of it. But Christ came and took our sin on himself. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture. So as we read this account of the Last Supper, Jesus is being incredibly egocentric. You thought of that? Everything is about me, he's saying. This ceremony is about me. This is how I'm about to rescue my people for eternity. So Jesus and his death fulfills everything the death of the Lamb anticipated. He died for each one of us. He's forgiven us and now sends us out into the wilderness, delivers his people. So we need to say to one another, to say to our friends, are you sure the blood of the Lamb has been painted on the doorpost of your life? If it's not, then judgment is coming. And do we all know that great relief that the older son has? You know, I am saved. My sin has been forgiven. The judgment has passed me by. But are we all prepared for the tough life ahead? The life for living with and for Jesus? In ancient times, you know, people often would say to friends, are you sheltering under the blood of the Lamb? Can you hear anyone saying that today? In Victorian times, this is in the days of Wesley, they were full of this. Jesus alone can protect us. Well, why did Jesus tell us to continue this meal? Perhaps it's a shame that we don't usually actually have a meal with an extra significance. So just as Jesus continued the Passover, so we are to celebrate this when we meet. Look at verse 19. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of who I am, what I've done for you. And for you, and for you. We've got to keep remembering that Jesus is central to everything. This is why Christians, as well, when we have a meal, we acknowledge God's grace. You don't say grace, you acknowledge grace. His grace to us. We want people to know that Jesus is central to everything. So when Jesus says, this is my body, he's not encouraging cannibalism. He's not talking about transubstantiation, you know, the wafer becomes the body of Christ. Jesus often talked about himself so figuratively, not literally. You know, he says, I'm the door. No one believes he's literally a door. Yeah, but he's the way in to heaven, to God. I'm the good shepherd. He wasn't literally a shepherd, but he's the guide of people. I'm the vine. I'm the bread of life. Feed on me. Feed on what I teach. Actually, some people, you might see it there, verse 20, have been bothered by, why does Luke seem to muddle up the wine after the supper he took the cup? And they think, well, is that an interpolation? Some scholars have said that's been added by other people. Or perhaps Luke got it slightly muddled. Now, if you see the significance of the Passover, there were four cups in the Passover. The one that Jesus celebrated, the one that we celebrate, is actually the third cup. And verse 20 here is the fourth one. There's no muddle. So, the past, the death is predicted. The present, the death is fulfilled. But what is interesting is what's the significance for the future? Death leads to glory. Now, why does Jesus say, look at verse 16 and verse 18, that this is his last Passover? Until it finds its fulfillment when the kingdom of God comes. So this feast, the Passover feast, looked forward to a banquet ahead. They had, as we said, they had a real feast, roast lamb. And at this feast, Jesus broke the flat loaf. The body was to be broken. Then they passed around one cup with real alcohol. His blood is going to be spilt. And one of the significances is that this message is meant to get out. When Paul writes in to the Corinthians, whenever you eat this bread and drink this blood, you proclaim the Lord's death. Now, this proclamation is not just to be within the holy huddle. Now, this is something that's evangelistic. The message has got to be out. But it's another significance. The suffering that Jesus was about to endure will also be part of this suffering of Christians. And the Bible is very full of this. You know, the cup of suffering comes 8 times in the Bible. It's saying that if we drink of this cup, we also are sharing with the ministry of Jesus, and we will suffer. You cannot be a Christian living for Christ and not suffer. The way not to suffer is not to live for Christ. Remember the sons of Zebedee wanting special position from his mum, Matthew 20:22. Are you able to drink the cup I'm about to drink, Jesus said? They said to him, we're able. You will indeed drink from my cup. You see, it's not just proclamation. We are there to say, we've got to pay the price to get this message out. But there's a third significance in the future. In Luke 13, Jesus talking about the judgment. There were people there who thought they were God's people, but the Lord says they will be chucked out. Instead, people will come from east and west, north and south, and will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. This promised land is going to be glorious and pictured by another feast. Are you looking forward to that feast in heaven? To being with the Lord Jesus there? Now look at 16. Until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful picture. You know, some of us very shocked to hear of the sudden death of Dave Ross. But what a joy it is to know that he's enjoying the presence of his Lord now. All the old problems have gone. It's new. Everything's new. This is what this Last Supper means to us. So it's a wonderful message we've got to share with people. The Jews had no doubt the Passover was the central bit of their year. And for us Christians, the death of the Lord Jesus is the central thing that we should just be thrilled with. And Paul reminds Christians that celebration of our Lord's Supper has got to be linked with getting the message out. Do you remember this thing? Whenever you eat this bread and drink this blood, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We are a proclaiming group. It's a glorious day when we meet him face to face. We're all looking forward to meeting him and hearing him say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Come and share your master's happiness." That's for those who are faithful. As the young lad went to his church one Sunday morning, and the preacher said, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" He looked around and everyone put their hand up, except for one boy. And the preacher looked at him and said, "Son, don't you want to go to heaven?" "Yes, I do," he said, "but I thought you were collecting a group for tonight." our picture, there is suffering for Christians, but the picture of heaven is not just a destination. It's a motivation, just as the Lord's Supper is meant to be. So, although the Lord's Supper also can be seen in past, present, and future, it also gives a new dimension to the way God wants us to think. Let's look back to the salvation that the Lord has won for us on that cross. Let's look out to those around us who desperately need this forgiveness and the change of heart and the empowerment by his Spirit that Jesus alone can give them. And let's look forward to the future of being with our Lord in heaven. Do you know what the term Mass means? The end of the... Well, it comes from the Tridentine, the Latin words for the Roman Catholic service. Comes the last words, "Ite messa est." Go, be sent out. It's great. That's what the church's message is. We've got to get out. Have you talked to people about Jesus this week? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do praise and adore you for coming to die as our substitute, that death planned from eternity, where you bore our sins on your body on that tree. Thank you that you came willingly and lovingly to die for us. Thank you for reminding us that those who reject your rule will be judged and rejected forever. Lord, help us to cherish the meaning of that Last Supper and to go out to live and serve the Lord. Amen.